Okay, well, you know, we are our biggest fan, right? Who likes you more than anybody else?
Your parents.
Well, that's true. But it's, we like ourselves the best, don't we? You, me and I, we love ourselves, right? Really. So, and why not? I mean, we think about ourselves. We think about living life and getting the most out of life. What purpose do I have in this life? How can I be happy? How can I be fulfilled, satisfied, have a genuine purpose in this life? So we are conscious of ourselves, and we want to make sure ourself is covered, that we have answers, that we know what we need to know so that we can have fulfillment in our life. I believe every person who's ever lived thinks about these things. They have a checkup from the neck up, figuring out what's life all about and how does it mean to me? What does it mean to me to have life and all the fullness of it? And really, it gets interesting because once we get to the point that we can have ourselves satisfied. Well, I thought he was my fan. All right. Oh, well.
I love you.
All right. We, that's a family fellowship, huh?
Yeah.
Kids can be a part of it. So, but once we, I think, have a sense of self-satisfaction and fulfillment to a degree, we reach out to others. And until we develop a love for someone else, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, we're really concerned about ourselves, but we want to, we meet somebody that tickles our interests or whatever, and maybe we have feelings toward them. And certainly within a family, we love our parents, you know, we love ourselves, but we have special feelings for our parents, our family members. And to the extent, if it's really close, really tight, we would even considering sacrificing our life for someone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we have that real love and care and concern for others in our family or whatever the situation might be. Maybe it's a spouse, whatever. But for the most part, we just are self-serving, right? I mean, we talk about selfies and all this stuff like that, and it's just our culture, and I get it. But there's one person that is definitely not a selfie, and he's not self-serving, and that's God Almighty. God Almighty, when you really find out his heart, his desires, it's not about what he wants, it's about you. It's all about you and I can have fulfillment in our lives. God is concerned first and foremost about his people, his creation, you and I. And that's pretty big if you think about it. And if that's the case, then as we learn about him more and more, we can see what he's done to really love us and care for us. So everything about him is focused on you. And I don't know how much you think about God during the day, but think about how much God thinks about you during the day. And I think he thinks a lot about us during the day, huh? Yeah, God is so great, so wonderful, and fantastic. And I'm sure thankful that we have a God that is so loving and so caring for us. Yeah, so when we think about what he's done for us, we see that he sought us out, he bought us. And then what I want to share with you tonight, in light of that, is then our response to what he's done to reach out to us. Okay? So we're going to look at tonight where God has sought us out, and then he bought us, and then what do we do in response to that? All right? So, okay, let's go to John, the Gospel of John. And, I need another Bible. I need a time out here to grab my Bible. It's in the bag, black bag over there. I want the King James. So.
You said John?
Yep, John. There we go. Thank you very much. Yep, left my Bible in the backpack here. But John 15. John 15. Verse 16. And it says, and you have not chosen me, but what? I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So it wasn't like they chose him, God, but God, through Christ, chose them. All right? Verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hateth me before it hateth you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. So, I tell you, you take a stand for the true God, and you'll see where the world will balk against you. You know, really. Our world by nature is not so God conducive. And yet, when we take a stand for God, we have our Heavenly Father on our side for sure, huh? Now, let's go to Jeremiah 29. Isaiah, Jeremiah 29. See, God has chosen us. He wants us in his family, and what a great privilege. Now, we, by our freedom of will, need to respond to join into that family, to get born again. Here in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is our God, our Father. This is how he thinks. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. That's verse 12. Verse 13 of chapter 29. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with what?
All your heart.
So God does seek us out. He's chosen us. And then as he has picked us, we need to make that free will decision to search our Heavenly Father out and all that he is. So pretty neat. You know, everything pretty much that we read in God's Word is about God's effort to bless us, to bring us into his family. God started with Adam and Eve, didn't he? And he wanted a family. And Adam and Eve didn't do so well. The one thing God told them not to do, they did. And man fell. But he lost that spiritual connection, unfortunately. But did God give up? No. Again, we're seeing God's putting forth the effort here, not man. And so God, wanting and desiring this relationship, made a promise in Genesis 3:15 for the promised seed, as we know, would be Christ. And so all through the Old Testament, history evolved to the point that finally we could have the Lord Jesus Christ alive. And he paid the ultimate price with his life so that he could buy us for God, right? He paid the price for us to be available to the Heavenly Father. And it's all about God doing this for us. So, I mean, we've got to see how big God is, how desirous he is for you and me, that he really desires us. He wants a family. He wants us to be blessed and fulfilled in so many ways. So he bought us. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 7. In verse 7. And it says here, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. You know, we've talked a little bit about this earlier on, about people having a love for one another and a care for one another, and that people might put their life on the line for others if they have such strong care for them or a great love for them. And so we see here, man by his nature, you know, he might even dare to die for a good man. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us. How did he commend his love toward us? In that while we were yet sinners, while we were out in left field, Christ died for us. Wow. I mean, that should speak loudly on God's effort to bless us and love us and want us in his family. Pretty neat. So that's our God. That's him desiring us, having chose us, and now bought us. And what a privilege it is. And then, of course, verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And that's our Lord and Savior, because he died for us. Now go to 1 Corinthians, Romans, Corinthians, chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's quite a verse there, isn't it? That God has bought you with a price. That your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That gift of Holy Spirit, when you're born again of God's Spirit, that Spirit lives within you. You are, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Who do we belong to now?
God.
God Almighty. Now that we think about ourself and how am I doing, you know, I mean, that's okay, but do it in the sense that now we belong to God. He bought us. He paid the price for us. We're his. So we need to up our believing, up our thinking of who we really are. And it's not that we're by ourselves, but we are now in the family of God because God bought us. And he paid a dear price, didn't he? What a price did he pay? His only begotten Son who walked perfectly. So It's a precious thing. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we are a new creation in Christ, right? So again, as we look at ourselves, we need to look with not our human senses and eyeballs, but with our spiritual eyeballs, because we are a new creation in Christ, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is the new you, because you are a new creation. Look at Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. This is fantastic here. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory. Not your glory, His glory, who first trusted in Christ. You and I, we are to the praise of His glory. God brags on us. Look at my kids. You know, we brag on our kids. And God brags on us. We're to the praise of His glory. So we are definitely very, very special. That's for sure. It says in 2 Corinthians, don't need to turn there, 5:21, but we're made unto the righteousness of God in Him. The righteousness of God. How righteous is God?
Very righteous.
Very righteous. How righteous are you yourself?
As righteous as God is.
Well, now it is. And that's how we need to think of ourselves. You know, sometimes we revert back to the old self, right? And see ourselves the old self way. But now we're a new creation in Christ. We have the righteousness of God. We're to the praise of His glory. So we're pretty special. We're pretty special. So what's our response to this? How do you respond to such a great love that God is so you-minded, you and I-minded, rather than Himself, to do what He did to bring us into His family?
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
What can I do for you?
Yes. Let's go to Galatians 2:22. I think this is a great verse here. chapter 2, verse 22. There is no 22, is there? But let's go to 20. Verse 20, sorry. Verse 20. In chapter 2 of Galatians, I am crucified, or the text really is, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Okay, we're not I-focused, you know, who we are five senses-wise. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. How am I going to live this life in the flesh? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now that's how we want to live our life, right? That's our response in light of what He did for me. Now I want to love Him back. Really, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What a privilege. What an opportunity we have to live a fulfilled life. I mean, again, we look at ourself again in a selfless way and think, well, look at all that God did for us to bless us, to make us fulfilled, to give us purpose, give us eternal life. And so now I can live for Him. I can live for Him. I can do great things for Him because He's done so much for me. Fantastic. Hebrews 12. Yeah, we want to live for Him. And Hebrews 12, 1. This is a good one, too. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and this refers back to chapter 11, all these great heroes of the faith, as some people call them, people that believe God all through the Old Testament and so forth, and we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. As a result of this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So what we do, we see the great examples of believing. And so in light of that, we lay aside everything that would hold us back from believing like these wonderful men did. And we don't let anything hold us back. We run with patience the race that's set before us. And what are we looking at as we race down that track of life? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow. You know, Jesus Christ was, he was concerned about you and I, others. And look what he's done for us. So now, what is our response? Well, we just get rid of the stuff that holds us back, and we continue to look to him. We continue to look to Christ and all that he is, that we can walk with the great believing that he had. And we can see how we can love with the love that he had too, right? Oh my gosh, yes. That we can love like he loved. And we can give our all to our Heavenly Father. And now at this point, we can see beyond ourselves that there truly is a loving God, right? A loving Father who has dedicated his whole being to you and I. And now we have someone to really love, to really be thankful for, someone we can give all our heart, soul, mind, and strength to. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, Father, thank you that you are just so dedicated to bless us and take care of us, to make a life for us that is just so fantastic. And we're so thankful that we can get out of ourselves and look to you, Father. Look to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And have a life that's is so full of joy and confidence and satisfaction, knowing who we are and what lies ahead and the great hope that we have. And what exciting purpose we have to be in this family, to hold forth the words of life, to help others with the wonderful things that you've given us, so that we all can walk for you, Father, and bring more people to the family of God. So we're just excited that we can learn these things, Father, that we can move on with great expectation as we continue to look to you and your wonderful Son. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.